This is a Skirted Roundtable. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
And this is Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8.
And Joni Webb with Cove to Texas.
And this week on the Skirted Roundtable, we're going to be talking about pitching bloggers, people who are selling products and want us to promote them on our blogs or incorporate them into a story or somehow, you know, bring them to our attention. And I know a lot of other blogs have talked about this. I know Grace Bonney at Design Sponge has done several things on this over the years, but I think it's really worth talking about because I'm sure you guys get tons of pitches. I get tons of pitches and I get so sick and tired of all these completely ridiculous things that come across my desk and in multiple versions, like duplicates. It drives me crazy.
And obviously I love it when they don't know your name and they write, you know, "Dear Arquette, please consider." You almost want to read it to see how stupid the rest of the letter is, but it's usually just a form letter.
Well, when I was early on in blogging and when I just started to get these kind of pitches, you know, initially it's actually kind of a rush because you think, ooh, people know who you are and they, you know, you're getting on the people's radar, which is fun at first. And so I used to respond to everybody. Do you guys respond to people if you're not interested?
Sometimes I do if it's personable. If it's somebody who actually has written me a letter and it has relevance to my blog, which tells me they've read the blog, I will do a brief email back, yeah.
Because even though you're not going to post it for some reason. Well, if it has relevance to your blog, you don't tend to do a lot of producty kind of stuff anyway.
No, but I have in the past. Yeah. It's funny. I get these little pet crushes on certain small business owners. You know, if they have a good product that I really believe in and I'm really excited that they're going at it and just trying to make them, you know, create a business out of something and the product's good, I'm happy to help them out. But I try to do it in a way that the reader is also going to get something out of it, like a giveaway, because that makes more sense. You know, there's a chance that the readers will get something out of it if I'm going to do advertising, which is essentially what it is. If I do a giveaway.
I have noticed a real shift in, I used to, you know, always respond to anyone that would ask me for, you know, to put something on the blog, blah, 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 blah. But I've noticed a real shift in the mail that I'm getting from these companies. And you can tell they've never read your blog. They know nothing about it. And it's like a mass marketing. And, you know, or they want to do a guest post, blah, blah, blah. But it's not, it's like almost like it's a bot, not even a real person.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much companies around the United States, and even I get letters from overseas, too. And they realize the power of the blogger now. It's amazing how much it's changed.
Yeah, I think that when I started getting those queries, they were a little more personal. And I used to respond to anyone who said, "Dear Linda," I'd respond to because I felt like, you know, all right, they know who I am. And anyway, if it was clearly just a mass email, I wouldn't bother to respond if I wasn't, you know. And now, they're using technology, so the emails still say, "Dear Linda." But you still know it's not a personalized, like, they've cut and pasted because the fonts and the text, the colors are different, or, you know.
Yeah, those press releases that have the big and the little font type size, I never read those.
So I think, you know, a lot of it is just marketing 101. I mean, you know, you don't just shoot out every, you know, bullet you have in the, there's a metaphor in there somewhere, and, you know, slap it all up there and see if anyone salutes. I mean, read the blog and see if the blog covers what you're
saying. What I started doing with the really annoying ones that seem to come all the time? I finally just started sending them my press kit / rate sheet and said, "Thank you so much for," I ignore the fact that they're trying to ask me to do it for free, and instead send this and go, "Thank you so much for your inquiry. please see my attached rates, and I look forward to hearing from you." And then you know if you're going to really... Right.
I mean,
if they
I think
really
that,
are serious.
You know, I mean, probably most of them are legitimate. You know, this is what you do. You pitch magazines, you pitch, you know, that's where all these picks come from, in magazines. you know, those are not the editors going out and finding things. Those are just them culling through emails they've received or product pitches. So, you know, it's fine, but like pitching a magazine, you don't pitch Elle Decor if you sell Polly Pockets, you know, tablecloths. You know, it's just, it's not going to go anywhere. And so, yeah, you're reading a blog. I mean, I'm amazed at some of the product pitches I get for cleaning products and, you know, things like that. It's just like, you know, a cursory glance.
Okay, so what do you do when it is someone that is a mom and pop and they know you and they know your blog and they're very complimentary and they want to do a giveaway or to, and it is nothing to do with your readership at all, you know?
You tell them that.
What I've started doing, saying thank you. And I, you know, I always send them to another blog.
Me too.
I think, you know, I give them a name of someone that I think it's just a waste of their time and an effort, you know?
Yeah.
I do too. I just say, I don't think, to be honest, I know my readers and I don't think that your product would be, this would be the best place for your energy. However, I do think this blog, or have you tried Etsy, or, you know, good luck with all that.
Yeah.
I guess because it's true. I'm not being dishonest. I mean, it's true. Why waste your time and money on, you know, giving away something?
Right. I mean,
Exactly. And it, and there, but still, it's so awkward, you know.
Well, it's awkward, but I think that, I think establishing for yourself a policy, you know, if you have a policy, even you don't have to publish your policy, but if you have a policy, then it's very easy to return it back and say, you know what, I have a policy, I never do this. You know, Joni, you don't do, you know, we know you don't like product pics in magazines. You don't do that kind of thing on your blog. Your blog posts are story related. They're not product related. So, you know.
I do do some of that, and I do love giveaways and everything. But I have noticed that there's just a, well, first of all, there's a huge amount of spam. I mean, it is just, there's, to go through your mail is, I don't know, if, do y'all have that? Just. It's just horrible. And it's not anything you've ever signed up for. And these companies, and then you wade through all of this and you miss half the stuff. I've always felt like I'm missing half of my personal mail because I'm trying to wade through the spam and, you know, it's just a mess, email.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that, again, I think you can establish, if you establish a policy, like for Joni, for giveaways, if you establish a policy that says, this is, in my mind, this is the giveaways, the only giveaways I want to do, you know, or it may be I only do a certain number of giveaways in a year or whatever, then it's easier to go back, even to the mom and pops, even to someone you know reads your blog, I think it's easier to go back to them and say, you know, this doesn't, I have a policy, it doesn't fit within my policy. I've had that with people, the guest blog post. Which is a standard thing, you know, of, oh, offer to write a post for someone. You know, that's, people are told that all the time. But this year I made the decision I'm not going to do any guest blog posts. I'm not going to accept any. And
I don't think I ever have.
I used to have a couple of contributors, and I have a woman who still shows up under my name team because she's written a lot for me. And for her, you know, she sends me things that I don't go to, like trade shows and the things like that. I find that interesting, and those I'll post, but she is sort of a pre-existing relationship. There are people, I don't know, like Tama Haynes of the Antiques Diva. I'd probably let her do one if she, not that she's asked, but if she did, because she goes someplace I'm not going, that I would find interesting and would go if I could. You know, so that I'd find fine. But I've had friends here in New England who are design colleagues who have asked me, and I've told them no. And it's been easier to say, I don't accept guest posts. Now, the reality is, none of these guest posts are interesting to me. I don't want, my blog is really about marketing me. It's not about marketing another designer. So I'm not going to let another designer write on my blog anyway. So, but it's been easier for me to say, I've made a policy. I don't accept guest posts. It just sort of separates the person. It takes it out of from
being personal. Yeah, I have never. There was one time I did, and she recently contacted me again, and I said, well, you know, sure. I don't either. What's the point of a guest post, you know?
Well, you know, different blogs are different, you know, so some might be great for them. You know, they like, I mean, I when I started, I solicited for guest, you know, writers because I was hoping that you know, I would continue, you know, if one post a week was from someone else who wrote an interesting post, you know, I was picky about who they were and what they were going to write about, that it was something that I either couldn't write about myself with expertise or an event that I couldn't go to. I thought, you know, that would be interesting. It would be like more like an apartment therapy where there's, you know, rotating contributors. But it's not right for everybody. And eventually it ended up being more work, and I didn't really like how most of the people wrote anyway. So,
it's just hard to give up. This stage in the game, it's hard to give up control of your blog, you know?
Well, again, yeah. I mean, that's not, you're definitely certainly not your thing, Joni, because that's not, you know, your blog posts have a certain type of format to them, and no one else is going to be able to do that, and you don't need to have anyone else do that, you know?
Well, I think for anyone, though, it's hard, you know, but I do see people that do it, you know, when they have a baby or they're going out of town, and, you know, I mean, there's sometimes it is a nice way to introduce another blogger.
Yeah, but I think...
But do y'all feel this way? Do you feel that some of the camaraderie is not there like it used to be among bloggers or not?
Yeah, I do. I feel like in the beginning, several years ago, we were all... we all would email back and forth a lot. I don't feel like we do that much anymore.
I know. Why? I mean, do you think that the younger bloggers do it, or I don't know? It just seemed like
I think I would imagine it is a lot more to do with just the fact that there are so many. You know, it's like when there's not that many, you know, you form a kind of collegial or little groups spring up, but you know, and there are people who don't like each other, and there's all that sort of stuff that kind of comes out. But there's still, you know, smaller groups of people to pay attention to. Now there's just so many that it's hard to do. People have already made their friends, and then it's so hard to...
I think that is what it might be. But I also think because it was a new medium kind of back then, it was relatively new, that I kind of think that we were all sort of having so much fun. It was like we all it was like the CB radios back in the 70s or 80s or whenever those, you know, it was like so much fun. Ooh, let's try this out. We can talk to other people.
Right.
There was a little bit of that.
You know what's interesting is I was looking at an old post for some reason, and I went through the comments, and they were all from bloggers, you know, like Mrs. Blandings and you, and then, you know, and Bottle, you know, and now that never happens. Oh, I rarely get comments from other bloggers.
None of us comment on each other's blogs. I think it's the ubiquity of it. Like, I was thinking as you were saying that, and I also think that when we all started, there wasn't Facebook and Twitter.
That's true.
You know, and that's so bizarre. It's like if Facebook has taken over the world, and we're like, we've been blogging since before Facebook. So I think that we're all in contact in some way all the time anyway. You know,
but it still kind of hurt me when I was looking at that. I thought, God, no bloggers ever read my blog anymore.
Yeah, but whose blogs do you read, Joni?
I read blogs. I don't read them every day. About once a week, I'll go through my blog roll. And
how many times do you comment? Watch your answer.
I don't know.
Just saying.
I try to comment every once in a while. I do try to leave a comment. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's just weird when you go back and read your old comments and realize
those were the days. You got all reminiscent.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And then, how about when you go back and you don't even remember writing a blog?
That's always weird. Yeah.
And you're like, I wrote that?
Yeah. There's a lot of embarrassing ones that I'm like, oh, God.
Maybe I'll just pull that one.
But there's so many of them, too.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah.
There's a strange trip.
Yeah. I do think that, you know, it's a combination of being a lot of bloggers. And those of us who've been around a while, you know, we get so many emails and from so many different sources and opportunities, and you know, you get busy, and you hate to say it because I know it hurts people. You know, it hurts people that you get an email from someone you may not respond, or you don't respond very quickly, and you know, people get kind of like, well, I'm a reader, and they have every right. I've thought that about people in the past. Like, come on, respond.
Yeah.
And you know, you get emails from someone. You know, so do you think so and so's mad at me because I didn't hear from them? And it's like, well, you know, just wait till you get busy. Then you'll know what it's like. And they usually...
I get a lot of email from new bloggers, you know, and you go visit their blog and you just know you're not going to go back again unless they come to you again, you know. And right. I just think of those days, how I wanted so much for the older bloggers to come visit me, and they did, you know. But today
it's who were the old bloggers back then?
Well, that like, been some that's Stalport been like a year. And
oh right
Pika
yeah.
Chic and All the Best and
mm-hmm. See, none of those people ever commented on my blog.
ABT.
I always felt left out of that group because none of those people ever commented on my blog.
Well, see, I used to comment them to death, so I'm sure they felt obligated. But, you know, but these new bloggers, and they're so enthusiastic, and, you know, you want to share it with them, but you just know, I don't know, good luck.
Well, that's a definite. And, you know, commenting on people's blogs and trying to get them to come over to yours and come over, I've written a post about this, you might find it interesting. You know, that's a pitch, too. And so that kind of goes to the sort of back to the pitching bloggers of getting those bloggers to pay attention to your posts. Because I do think the days, and I posted that in my, when I did my post recently about being in blogging for 6 years, I think the days when such and such a blog posts about you, puts you on the map, I think those days are over.
Yeah, I do too.
There may be some rare exceptions, but I think those days, because I just don't think there's enough readers for all the blogs out there. It's so thinned out, and I'm not criticizing it, but you just these stories of Holly Becker of Decorate will talk about how she started her blog and then she wrote for a few weeks and then emailed Department Therapy and said, oh, I started a blog and I'd love to know your thoughts. And then they posted about her and suddenly she's at 14,000 readers a day. I mean, that had never happened today.
No, right.
Oh, never.
It's kind of sad. I kind of liked it. I'm sitting here kind of remembering back in that day when you would just like, you'd be so excited. You'd be started a design blog and you'd send it to Department Therapy and they post it.
Right.
Well, you know. That's how I got my start was, you know, I'd gone a couple of weeks and for some reason, Rhonda from All the Best, well, she's from Houston and she said, oh, I saw that you were writing about Pam Pierce or whatever, Houston designer. And she did a story on me. Now, she had quit blogging for 6 months and started back up. If you can imagine today thinking of that, she just decided to quit and came back to it real, you know, la-di-da. And she wrote a little story about me. And that's when I got readers, was from her showcasing me. That doesn't happen today, does it?
What doesn't happen? Getting the readers?
If another blogger talks about you?
Yeah, I don't think you get a whole herd of people running over to your blog anymore.
I think people go over, but there's so much to look at now that if it's not really an eye catcher, they're not going to come back.
Right. It takes a lot longer to, you know, the blog smog, it takes a lot longer to grab someone's attention and hold their attention and keep them coming back because there's so much to look at that it's, you know, I find that. Like, I'll look at a blog and be like, oh, that's really cute. I like this blog. Or, you know, this is really interesting. They have great pictures. But when I click away, I'll be like, oh, who is that? And they're gone. So I do think, yeah, blogging has changed. And I think the pitching, getting back to the commercial aspects of things, the pitching has gotten much more aggressive, which also makes us much more leery about even reading those emails. I'm getting, you know, you get the people who follow up. I just want to follow up, and that's their job.
I have one of those sitting in my inbox right now, and I feel guilty.
You know, when they follow up, I always respond, and I'll say, thank you for following up. I apologize for not responding sooner. This isn't right for my blog. And then I've gotten pissy with people because I've gotten, like, 2 and 3 duplicates of an email simultaneously because they're, mm-hmm. I don't know how they don't have mail merge systems that don't cull out duplicates, but you know, they don't. So they're getting my name from several lists, clearly. And I can get 3 or 4 from a new pitch. And I email them back and I'm like, I've gotten this 3 times. Please make sure I only get this once in the future. And then sometimes I'm like, please remove me from your list. I don't want any of these kind of duplicates. And you usually get some poor schnook on the other end. I'm sorry.
They respond to you?
Yeah, usually they respond. With, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize. And it's like, you know, but that makes me not want to read their emails. If I get 4 from the same person and the head and the subject matter is not interesting to me, they all get deleted without being read. Well, there's a, you know, going back to our pitching subject matter, there's a right. case where we pitched first dibs to get Michael Bruno on, and you sent them an email and you had a connection, and I followed up on that email a few weeks later, and you know, we haven't heard anything, so we're sort of stuck with, we want him on, we think it would be, he'd be a great interview for us, and we think we'd be good for them. They've got a lot going on. I think that as pitching goes, you know, we keep them there in our back pocket and sort of maybe reach out every now and again, and could be just, we don't know what's going on. Maybe they are too busy right now, but that doesn't mean down the road they won't be like, oh, we need some publicity. So I think with pitching, you know, you have to be persistent, but also read the signs. You know, if that blog does not, or website or whatever, does not do publication, does not do what you're selling, stop wasting your time on them.
So do y'all have, I get emails on how to a new blogger can get started, and things have changed, you know, like the things I used to tell a person, I don't know if they're even still relevant anymore. But do y'all ever get asked from a new blogger?
Yes. I usually direct them to our,
what do you tell them?
Well, I direct them to our podcasts for one thing, because and I say, and read the comments. You know, because if you go to our podcast, particularly our first ones, I mean, they were 2 years ago, so things have changed a little bit, but not that much. And it was so they get three people answering the question, plus all of our commenters. So that's what I do, because I just, it's so hard to, like, spend your time typing that up constantly for people.
And do I think that information's out there, though?
I do.
At this point?
Yeah. I mean, I do think that that's a lot of what they probably talked about at the bloggers conference this week. You know, and it is still a mystery to people, because I do think there's a lot of new designers who are coming on board with blogging. Like, I know that in Boston, I'm getting, people are coming up to me constantly about, how did I get to, you know, the position I'm in, and yada, yada, yada. And it's reminding me, interestingly, a lot when I decided to change careers and go into decorating, and I went to school, and I, you know, there were tons of people who you would meet, particularly right after I started, who were like, I really want to do that. And you'd be like, well, are you going to go to school? No. And they just didn't want to put any effort into learning anything about it, but they wanted to do it. And I kind of feel like that's a lot of the new bloggers, don't really want to put the time in, whether it's commenting on other blogs or, you know, that kind of thing. They just want the immediate, well, how do you get those, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 readers a day? And it's like, you know, you don't get that right away. Some people might, but most people don't.
Right.
You know, I mean, it takes, I'm amazed constantly that, I mean, you look at Velvet and Linen. They haven't been around very long, but they have a huge impact.
They've got a gorgeous blog, though.
Yeah, she has a beautiful blog. It's updated regularly. It's personal. It's about everything. It's about what they do.
And they have a shop, too. I think that helps. I mean, I think they go hand in hand.
Yeah. They have a really good whole package going.
And they have a book coming out.
And they... Yeah, you know, so they have a really, that's like one of the few examples of a newer blog really hitting it very quickly, it feels to me. So, yeah, I mean, I think that people have to put in the time and develop something create new and unique, because there's not a lot of unique stuff out there either.
No, there is not.
That's hard. I mean, it's, gosh,
but I
it's
also
hard.
Think it's like, what's your goal? You know, you have to have a, you know, you got to have a goal. For what you're blogging for, and if it's, depending on what it is, if it's just to get commenters, that's one goal, and there's ways of doing that. Lots of giveaways, lots of, you know, lots of small stuff that adds up, but it doesn't really...
And you still have to put your time in.
You still have to put your time in, yeah. The time does not go away. There's no easy road to blogging, and you can't hire a third party to do it for you.
Well, that's like Twittering. You can't... you gotta Twitter yourself.
You have to Twitter yourself.
It's taken me a long time to really figure out Twittering, really. And I think I've finally gotten it, but, you know.
Do you do it? I don't see you on there that much. Are you on there?
Yeah, I do it. I do it a lot. It depends. Huh? I don't do it every day.
I don't either, and I really don't spend, I don't read it as much as I should. I look at, you know, like today I was watching the design blogger feed just to see what people were saying, but.
If you put on a search for a Twitter subject, you know, especially if it's trending, God, it's so much fun, you know.
Yeah, that's always really... When would you guys be open to receiving product pitches? I mean, Joni, would you ever?
And what do you mean?
Well, like if someone is making something or it's a major company and they have a new product, like, you know, even a restaurant...
If I'm always open. If it looks good on my blog. You know, if it's like Aiden Gray, Wisteria, you know, those kind of companies, sure, I love to advertise them for free, you know?
Would you ever do, like, because you don't really do product posts, per se.
I do, especially if it's a giveaway, I do.
But if it's not a giveaway, if it's like, you know, if you get the pitches that say, are you, if you're working on any stories related to outdoor furniture.
Okay, like I saw a new fabric line that I love and I want to write a story about it, and they're not going to even know I'm going to write it, and I could care, you know, I'm not going to call them and say, send me some fabric, you know what I'm saying? I would never do that.
But I think bloggers do that, though.
Yeah, I probably, but I mean,
actually, I do that for fabric.
I don't care. I just, it moved me when I saw the fabric, you know, and I want to write about it. And so, you know, I think a lot of bloggers are like that, though. They don't want anything. They just want to write about their passion.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not wanting something, although to some extent, I think, you know, I have asked people if they want, if they send me information about like fabric, and then they say, you know, samples are available. I usually ask for the sample. Because I want to see it in person. I want to feel it. I want to know that it's not just a pretty picture of a piece of fabric. It's a nice fabric, too. So I don't think there's anything wrong with asking for samples. I'm not asking for a bolt.
Especially if they ask you. But, you know, this didn't happen. I walked in the showroom and saw a new fabric that I loved, and there's a good story behind it, and I want to write about it.
Okay. But that's not resulting from a product pitch. That's just something you ran across. And, Megan, when do you sort of... There, you, as you said, you start really liking someone, and so you kind of want to.
Well, their product too. I mean, I met a lot of really cool people whose products I don't really like that much, so I don't. Well, you know, like Joni was saying, I will post about something that I am drawn to, fabric, or, you know, I tend to look on Etsy a lot. I love art, so if I just see an artist I think is doing really great inspirational pieces, then I'll let them know sometimes that I've posted, because I figure, why not? Maybe they'll put it on their website. So then we're both sharing the love. But as far as products, I think it has to be, I won't post it if it's not something that I would be interested in reading about. There have been a few times when I felt a little backed into the corner. I haven't had it in me to say, I don't think so, or I didn't know the right way to gently say no. So I've posted some things I quickly posted something on top of it so that no one would see it.
Yeah.
But that just takes time. You know, you learn how to do it. And I'm just, you know, I guess it would help if I were a little ballsier and could be a little bit more rude, but I'm just not that way. But then the people who send you these anonymous press releases, you know, like I said in the beginning, where they go, Dear Arquette, please see for immediate release. Now, those people have no problem with just hitting the trash can icon.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're anonymous to them, then they can be anonymous to you. You know,
right.
It kind of goes both
But, like,
ways.
If it's some small furniture showroom in Venice, say, who really has some cool stuff, and they're doing some really interesting designs that, you know, are that I think people would be, I think it would be a great place for me to help them bring people awareness of their product. I'll do that. But the product has to be good. I think that's the bottom line.
And do you guys, we've kind of talked about this before, about exclusivity. If you got that, Megan, would you be interested in looking it up to see if they'd pitched to like every other California blogger? And
do you, oh my gosh, you know what, that's funny, because kind of, yeah, I have that. Do you remember when Pieces Inc., and I love Pieces, I think it's a great website, they have great products, but Joni, do you remember a couple years ago when they pitched a bunch of us and we all came up with that exact post? It just made me so mad. So I think you can kind of get a sense for it if you start emailing back and forth with the person a few times, whoever the contact is. When, you know, and then I do sometimes ask, is this exclusive, or have you pitched this to other bloggers?
Haven't we found that, like Joni, I mean, remember when Ballard Designs had
It's happened several times. And
I mean Ballard Designs had James Snow or someone like that.
Yeah, that happened to you, Maitland.
It was you and me and Paloma. I won it. Wasn't it like Paloma or it was someone like that? It was a third blogger who we all ended up doing the same story. And I think,
that week, I think there were more another week.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, they just sort of covered, and it was an interesting story, and we like Ballard, so, you know, our aesthetic tends to be similar, so we both pitched it. We both said, okay, sure, but then you're kind of like, ugh, you don't want to be doing the same story as everyone else. So that's sort of a little word to advice if people are looking to pitch. If they really want to refine their pitch, you know, pick the blog, pick your number one blog that you want to go to. And this is the same advice you get for a magazine. Pick the place you want to be and start with them and tell them, I want to give you, you know, if you're interested in this product, you're the only place I'm going to pitch because you're so important to me. And then if you don't hear from them, you're free to move it along down the road. And, you know, if they come back to you behind the, you know, after the fact and say, oh yeah, this looked good, you might say, well, I've already sent it to a couple other places, but I'd still love for you to pitch it. You know, or to showcase it. But, you know, exclusivity really means something to us, too, because we don't want to be just splashing the same old that everyone else is doing.
Well, there are so many different kinds of blogs where the readership does not cross. And they, you know, someone like Ballard could have reached out to the number one blog in a lot of different categories. And instead, they picked blogs that were in the same category, you know?
Yeah, but they would pick blogs in the same category because that's their aesthetic. They pick blogs that...
Yeah, but Ballard's appeals to everybody, so...
Well, no, it doesn't. I just totally disagree. It appeals to a very limited demographic. You know, people who love it, but it's not that many people. You know, the design...
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
Yeah. The Design Within Reach buyer, the IKEA buyer...
Saying me, Joni, but I'm sitting there thinking about some of the blogs I read.
Yeah,
would absolutely hate Ballard. They don't even know what Ballard Design is, right. Let alone they would hate it. It would be too.
I'm just saying they could have gone to the Cottage Ladies. They could have gone to the Young Marrieds. They could have gone to the DIY Ladies. I mean, there are a bunch of different categories of blogs that love Ballard. You know,
there are, but they also wanted to go to the people that seem to have packed the most punch as far as potential buyers are concerned. And other than that, yeah, I mean, I just get a lot of things. I don't get a lot of things that are personal, like handmade artists. They may be slightly bigger than that or, you know, they're major companies. But I find it rude. Like, I find it hard to be blunt. Like, the company that's the PR firm for SureFit Slipcovers constantly pitches me. Maybe they'll
listen. Yeah, I think I get that one, too.
And, you know, it's like I don't want to email back and say I would never in a million years ever showcase SureFit Slipcovers because I don't, you know, it's not a quality, not against SureFit, don't sue me, but it's just not at the level of custom work that I want to portray on my blog. And
well, I bet you now if they listen to this, they won't be sending you anymore.
Maybe they won't.
Unless it's a bot that's sending them out.
It's, you know, I mean, I'm sure it's a, you know, it's, they say Dear Linda, but I'm sure it's, you know, it's a mass pitch. They're a mass marketing company. It's a mass pitch.
Yeah, I get that one too.
Yeah.
And you know what? They should probably try with these press releases to make them look a little more interesting. Well, do you think visually? I mean, yeah. The sort of bad pictures and bad photographs of the product and the copy.
Well, that's actually what I want. That's the thing that I was thinking of bringing up was how do you guys, if when you get a pitch, assuming let's pretend it's actually maybe a product you might be interested in, but, you know, what's the format do you want? Do you want it a text and, you know, let us know if you want pictures, or do you want them to send a picture or two and let us know if you want more? Or do you want a link to a website that you can go to and just look at pictures? How do you guys want to receive, like, the images of the products?
Well, you know what? The ones that appeal to me most that I stop and look at look like emails. Cool. They're not very lengthy. They use my name. They sound like they know something about what my blog's about. They might throw a little conversation. I mean, there's a little bit of an art to it. And then, you know, we're doing this product pitch. I'll attach some photos. If you're interested, let me know. I don't know why. Those that are maybe five sentences long tend to get my attention more. And
if
I don't
you
know.
Can, you know,
those work better.
And because you can see the picture, like if it's a picture embedded into the email, so you can just scroll down and see the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I find that much better. I can't stand pitches where the picture, everything's enclosed in a PDF that I have to download or a Word document. If you can't attach a JPEG, put it on a website somewhere. Hello, doggy.
Just a second. Georgie! Oh, God, she's deaf. Oh, God. I'm going to have to go get her. Hold on. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I can't stand the pitches if I have to really work to see the pictures. Or if they say, let us know if you want pictures. You know, it's like, send me at least one. Because it's a visual medium. And wordy, wordy, wordy does not work. You know, tell me what it is. Tell me why it would be relevant to my blog.
Yeah.
Let me make a decision. I'm getting a little irritated at the book pitches because they're getting harder. They also, you know, you have to download the blads and stuff.
Oh, don't say that. I love the book pitches. Those are my favorite.
I like the ones where they send you. I used to like.
They send you a book. Yeah.
I like where they send you the book.
I'm different. I love when they send us the blads, and we can put them in our computer and then have the pictures without scanning them. Yeah. You know, I love that.
I think that what I'd like, what's irritating me is in those book pitches, is that they don't send you like a brief thing that you can look at on your screen and then you can go and download the blad or whatever. You can't see anything unless you go and download this huge file. When you're pitching someone, don't make them do work. Make their lives as easy as possible.
That's true.
This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, Joni Webb from Cote de Texas, and I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings. Thank you so much for joining us. You can download our podcast from iTunes, search for the Skirted Roundtable, or visit us online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com. Thank you so much, and we'll be back soon.